report. The report that must be presented before Parliament, before the House on Wednesday morning. I welcome all of you to this meeting. I've not received any apologies per se, but I know that Honorable Gillion is busy with the interviews for the National Youth Development Committee agency. She's facilitating the elections and should indicate to us at some point if she's still part of the meeting. But I've seen that she's here this afternoon. We really appreciate that. Any other apologies that we are noting quickly?
Chairperson,
Nkululeko,
is there Chairperson, Honorable Tshabalala just went to see the doctor.
Okay. Or is unavailable for, to this meeting. Okay. Who else is not submitted the apologies?
Chair.
Paul? Yes,
Honorable Sileku has told me that he might join in later.
When he joins us, we might have finished with our business. A long meeting.
Yeah, he has another commitment, Chair.
In the meantime, can you fly the minutes that we must adopt first? I think we must just hear that aspect before we proceed with the presentation of the oversight report. We have not noted any other apology. I guess that members will come to the meeting as and when it is possible. We are going to consider a set of minutes as per the procedure of Parliament. Otherwise, this report will be declared null and void if we do not adopt the minutes of the previous meetings. They will fly the minutes, and I will take you page by page with regard to the minutes with a view of adopting those minutes. Can we start with the first set? And in my own interest, I'm going to mute my video, switch off my video, because I'm using my phone in terms of this meeting. My other gadget is giving me some problems. I'm going to mute my, switch off my video as such, so that I don't interrupt the meeting. Luazi, can you quickly move, please? Or must we start first with the report?
Start with the report, Chair.
Is it available?
Huh? So that it can be 80 seats. Let's start with the report.
Sorry?
I wanted to propose that we start with the report.
Yeah.
And adopt it so that we are then able to give it to the relevant people to ATC it.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Okay. We are then going to start with the report. Firstly, to indicate that this report is in terms of the Constitution of the Republic, Section 100, subsection 2.C of the Constitution, enjoins the National Council of Provinces to regularly look at the intervention, to monitor and look at how the intervention works, and intervention that has been invoked by the National Executive. And on that regard, we are compelled by the Constitution to make some recommendations on how things ought to turn out and how things ought to be improved in relation to the intervention. Now, as just as a way of a background, speaking to this whole report, just as a way of a background, we were appointed by the House in last year, each party was represented accordingly, proportionally, with some alternates allocated to each party to ensure that we do our job quite diligently and professionally. This committee appointed me as the chairperson of the ad hoc committee itself to do this work. And since we started working in February this year, we are at this point, a lot of things have happened in the past. In the report that we presented before you, we do indicate that the background of this intervention was as a result of the problems which the national executive identified in the Northwest, and that we are governed by the legislative framework that guide us on how to do our function, because the national executive invoked Section 100 of the Constitution, both Section 100.1A and Section 101.B in the in terms of the Constitution in the Northwest. In this report, we attach the dates which helped us to arrive at where we are in terms of the milestones achieved and in terms of the work of this committee. We indicate in the report that we perform an oversight visit to the Northwest, but prior to the oversight visit, we did engage with the IMTT, where they presented to us the progress that they have registered, the challenges that they were facing, as well as the outstanding matters that they were still working on. We, as a matter of fact, engage with other entities that are quite important and strategic for our work, and those included the National Treasury, the Office of the Auditor General, but equally important, we engaged with the law enforcement agencies. And in terms of this report, we make recommendations in terms of all the meetings that we held with all of these departments and entities. We went to the Northwest on the oversight visit. We, all members of parliament, were there. We divided ourselves into two parts. One part went to Dr. Kenneth Kaunda region. And as we all know, the great man, the statesman, Dr. Kenneth Kaunda passed on some few days ago, and may his soul rest in peace. The region itself is named after that icon of our struggle, Dr. Kenneth Kaunda. We visited that region, and then we also visited the Dr. Ngakamole Mudiri Molema region. That's what we did. And in this report that we forwarded to you, and as I indicated, I hope that you've gone through the report, you read it, because we gave you almost more than a week to just study the report. But I'm just giving a bit of summary about the issues that must be reflected accordingly. In the Northwest, in terms of our oversight visit, we met the Premier of the province. We also met with the Executive Council.
Excuse me, Chair.
Sorry
to interrupt. If you can just go down a little bit to the, the other way. I think it's page 23. I apologize for the interruption. There's just a mistake on the report.
Okay.
It's where the breakdown is, where which candidates or members went. Some more. There we go. Group two, the toy is from the Freedom Front Plus.
Yes, I see that. Yes.
Okay, we must just correct that. Thank you, Chair.
Wonderful. Thank you. What we did, we, as I indicated, we split that into two parts. and that in the course of our work, we engage with the Premier of the province together with his Executive Council. We met the SCOPA, a committee that is responsible for oversight in terms of public accounts. We also met the unions, the labor unions, especially SATU, NEHAU, and all other unions that are entailed in the report. We visited the Mafikeng Provincial Hospital. We engaged with the unions there. We visited Tsepong Hospital. We visited the Alabama Primary School. We made an unannounced visit to the Kosi George Dixon Muntiwa Airport in Mafikeng. We did a site visit to the Poi Secondary School. In page 37, we indicate that we received a submission from the school governing body and the community forum of Madibu Gopan during our site visit. We also make an observation that we visited the Madibu Gopan Primary School. We also visited the bridge and the road that was constructed as part of the recommendations of the past. We also also indicate that we visited the Emergency Management Service Center for the city of Matosana. We visited the Social Development Service in Matosana. We engaged with the stakeholders, and the names of the stakeholders are reflected there from page 43. And we did the observations, and we lastly met with the IMTT coordinators as part of the assessment at the time that we visited the Northwest. And in this report, we also indicate the fact that we made some follow-up meetings where we met with the IMTT again. We met with the Premier of the province together with the Community Forum of Madibu Gopan, which submitted a memorandum and all of those particular issues. Now, with regard to this, for the record of this meeting, I'm going to request the slide to go to page 46, where we're dealing with the general observations of the ad hoc committee. And where we also deal thereafter with the cost-cutting recommendations of the committee, and lastly, the resolution. And on that score, I'm going to give over to the content advisor to take us through quickly 10 minutes with regard to those, the general observations, the cost-cutting issues and the recommendations that are emerging and contained in the report, as well as the resolution of this committee. After that, I will afford members of the committee to engage, to debate, to discuss, to correct, to vary, to object, do any other thing that we want to do before we adopt this report. Over to you, Pelelani. Mr. Pelelani Dlomo, our content advisor, to just quickly take us through those things that I have just pointed out, starting from page 46 until page 51, very quickly in that sense. And don't read sentence by sentence, just give the summary and the overall view of what is contained there. Please, over to you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Good morning, honorable members, colleagues, and chairperson. I hope I'm audible enough, Chair. Am I audible, Chair?
Yes, you are. You are, most definitely.
Okay. All right. No, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I must indicate that the report was circulated to members on Monday, but we have since received no additional input from members, and no a subtraction from the report. So the observations are as follows, Chair. We try by all means to capture the thrust of the process and the thrust of the journey of the committee from the beginning of the time when the committee started doing its work in February up to now, on the last meeting when the committee met with the INTT as well as the law enforcement agencies. So the observation is follows. Point one, a simply indicate that based on the previous interventions that have been undertaken by government in the past, the committee observed that quick fixes are not always a working. They only scratch the surface. So a concerted effort needs to be made to ensure that the intervention achieve sustainable results. An intervention and also the intervention of this magnitude in the Northwest needed more time to sustain the corrective measures that would be employed by the administrators. Point two also speaks about the early warning systems that needed to be in place so that provinces can generally detect the challenges prior being put in a Section 100 intervention, because the belief is that intervention is should be used as a last resort. Point three speaks about the concern of the committee around the slow progress in fast-tracking the process of finalization of the enabling legislation to guide Section 100 and Section 39 intervention, which, Chair, we've noted very slow progress when you compare the report that was tabled by the MTT on the 15th of February, as well as the report that was recently tabled on the 31st of May. So this observation emanates from that. There's been a slow movement in that legislation process. Point four speaks about the fact that intervention approach and outcome must give effect to the spirit of corporate governance and intergovernmental and interdepartmental relation, as well as sustainability measures beyond intervention, and should not be viewed as a tick box exercise. I'm sure, Chair, one of the things that we pick up in the Northwest to remember that a most common denominator in most challenges that we've picked, the committee picked up, was the lack of interdepartmental relations and intergovernmental relations amongst governments in the province. So we're saying the intervention should address all of those things and not just be used as a formality or a tick box exercise. Point five speaks about the fact that the committee expressed its concerns with regard to slow progress made by law enforcement agencies. This was a general concern in every single meeting between the committee and the law enforcement agencies, where investigation, prosecuting, and arrest of individuals who were allegedly involved in corruption in the Northwest, we have not seen any results, much of the results. Point six speaks about the fact that the committee expressed concern around the lack of cooperation, teamwork, coordination and interdepartmental relations amongst all structures and role players to ensure effective implementation of the intervention. You would see, Chair, you'd remember in our very first meeting during the oversight visit in the Northwest, and where submissions were made by various stakeholders, when you gauge that input, you could see that there was really a problem around teamwork and coordination and cooperation amongst all the stakeholders that are given the responsibility to make sure that the intervention is implemented and succeed. Point seven speaks about the fact that the committee remained concerned about the budgetary constraint accruals and baseline, particularly in the Northwest Department of Health. This is also addressed in the sector specific finding, and it has a recommendation also under the sector specific finding, because we recall that the report details all the findings under each sector where facilities were visited, and it also subsequent make recommendations on those specific sectors. So this has also been highlighted in that effect. The committee also observed that the provincial Department of Tourism has been discontinued, but the function was then transferred to the Economic Development Department. The committee notes the instability in the Northwest of Human Department of Human Settlement, and it is of the view that this might have a severe negative consequence on service delivery. And also subsequent to that, their efforts to the National Department of Human Settlement to appoint a grant fund manager to address that kind of instability in the provincial department. And the committee welcomed those efforts. Observation 10, we are saying, whilst noting some audit improvements, the committee also expressed some concerns around the cost escalations and irregular expenditure in certain areas, particularly in infrastructure projects. We've seen the report by Department of Public Works Chair during the oversight visit. Even during the responses, where the committee had sent some questions to the Public Works Department, that there were severe cost escalations that were reflected in that report for road projects, bridges, and for any infrastructure project that the Department of Public Works is implementing. So this remained a cause for concern as it opens up an opportunity for corruption and also for looting. And we're also of the view that, Chair, if that as one of the leakages in the budget is not addressed during these times where revenue collection is also not very well, it's not doing any justice for government. Point 11, the committee says, whilst noting the progress made by law enforcement agencies, it remains concerned about the capacity to expedite the cases. The issue of capacity was one of the main issues also that was addressed when the committee met with the law enforcement agencies. Point 12 made a point that prior provision of support to provinces should not be preconditional for intervention. National government is under a constitutional duty to assist provinces by legislative and other means to develop the administrative capacity required for effective exercise of their executive authority of implementing inter alia provincial legislation and all national legislation in the functional areas listed in Schedule 4 and 5 of the Constitution. That is Section 125A of the Constitution. And we're saying point 13, powers and implementation of Section 100 intervention should be seen as a measure of last resort, as I've indicated earlier on, where the problem cannot be resolved through ordinary intergovernmental and cooperative government processes. There's a broad agreement that the national government is committed to ensuring the stabilization of the Northwest Province to such an extent that interventions are exceptional and not regular occurrence. Point 14, Chair, the committee also notes that the stability of municipalities in the Northwest continues to undermine service delivery and social cohesion in the province, and that the national government has developed a package of measures, including dissolution of municipal councils, administrative intervention, as well as diversion of municipal infrastructure grant funding agents in terms of Section 21 of DORA. The committee observed that the National Prosecuting Authority was dealing with 51 cases regarding the Northwest Section 100 intervention, where 13 are already in courts, 6 are waiting for MPA decisions, 17 still under investigation, 15 has been finalized, and only 2 are being enrolled. I'm not sure if you want me to move to the recommendation, or you will first give members an opportunity to reflect on the findings.
No, move on everything, finish first, and then we will have a broader discussion.
Okay. Then, bearing in mind that the recommendations, these are cross-cutting in nature, because we also have specific sector-specific recommendations that we've made in each and every site visit that the committee has undertook. Having done a proper assessment of the work of the NTT, engagement with various stakeholders and site visit in respect to review of the intervention by the executive in the Northwest Province, the Ad Hoc Committee recommends as follows: that the committee has noted the progress made by the NTT in the Northwest intervention, such as audit report improvements, capacity building for service delivery by filling key management posts, investment in infrastructure, and improved system. However, given some outstanding challenges on the ground, the intervention in terms of Section 100 of the Constitution in the Northwest Province should continue until the National Executive undertake a review process. Point two, saying that the IMTT should continue to closely monitor the implementation of directives to ensure achievement of outstanding priorities in the section 101B departments and the challenges in the Department of Human Settlements are addressed urgently. Point three, we are saying, whilst noting that most functions which were previously centralized in the Premier's office have been transferred back in their departments, irregular project management units and outsourcing has been terminated, it is the committee's view that there is still a need for monitoring mechanisms and early warning information systems for provinces to indicate potential problems before they become endemic, so that the national executive is able to take corrective measures before problems are deeper. Point four, we are saying that the IMTT should ensure full capacitation of departments at senior levels to ensure that the administration leaves a stable senior management leadership in place, is expedited, and transfer of skills take place as soon as possible, including the agent appointment of qualified, experienced HODs where contracts have expired. Point five, we're saying the MTT should make sure that the Minister of Social Development fast-tracks the appointment of HODs, which has been done, by the way, and other key management positions, including hospital CEOs, and particularly for the Northwest Department of Social Development, where the HOD position has been vacant since the intervention started. This has been done, but for record purposes, we could not remove the recommendation because we made this recommendation whilst committee was still in oversight. So for record purposes, we kept it as is. Point six, that the IMTT ensures that issues around the inability to promptly respond to property lease accommodation needs by provincial public works, including lease agreement for office accommodation for development, are addressed by the department together with public works and roads. This remains a challenge which has led to the Provincial Department of Social Development experiencing delays in infrastructure expenditure and irregular expenditure due to the failure to properly manage lease agreement by Provincial Department of Public Works and Roads. Alternatively, the IMTT should look into dissolution of function of property management from public works back to other departments as a long-term solution to the current problem. Point seven, we're saying that the MTT should ensure that the Minister of Transport, together with the Provincial Department of Community Safety and Transport Management, resolve the issue around inability to promptly respond to provincial health transport needs in the and maintenance of EMS fleet for the Provincial Department of Health as soon as possible. During this oversight visit, the committee noted that most of EMS vehicles were not maintained with high mileage and some exhausted their lifespan. Alternatively, the MTT should also look into dissolution of EMS function from the Provincial Department of Safety and Transport back to the Provincial Department of Health as a long-term solution. Law enforcement agencies must address issues of capacity, integrity, and allegations of corruption in their own ranks, where some cases are being thrown without valid reasons, whistleblowers and witnesses not being protected and interviewed, so as to avoid unnecessary delays to finalize all the cases related to the Northwest Section of the Intervention. That progress and challenges in all cases opened with subs, hawks, and considered by the NPA, particularly those that are subject to Section 100 Intervention, be quarterly reported to the SOP for close monitoring in case numbers, and these cases must be processed and finalized. Point nine, we're saying the committee urges all role players of the Northwest Intervention to engage one another in good faith and work together with a common view to restore good governance and accountability culture to improve service delivery in the province. MTT, together with the provincial executive, must urgently address all systemic and structural challenges around the interface between the administrators, provincial legislatures, provincial executive, and the proposed enabling legislation should also address some of these issues for future interventions. The provincial legislatures, together with other provincial oversight bodies, must continue to assist the IMTT to implement a successful intervention to improve service delivery on the ground. Point 10, were saying that MTT, together with the provincial government, ensure proper and sustainable internal control measures, fraud prevention systems, monitoring and evaluation, audit units, and independent audit committees must be put in place, and consequence management should be enforced in all incidents of unauthorized, irregular, and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Possible abuse of SCM systems, including fraud, corruption, and improper conduct, and allegations of financial misconduct and financial offense, and ensure that these incidents are appropriately dealt with. Ensure that all infrastructure projects, especially those implemented by public works and roads, proper planning and interdepartmental planning is done, and projects are implemented according to the approved scope, and deviations are kept at minimum levels to avoid cost escalation. Point 11, we are saying that the MTT, together with the provincial government, ensure that any outstanding or pending disciplinary cases of officials alleged to have been involved in the financial misconduct and maladministration are expedited and be properly finalized to minimize severe financial implications for the state. Point 12, we're saying that the MTT must expedite the process of the legislative framework presented to the state law advisors and let the DPME agently conduct socio-economic impact assessment to guide the Section 100 intervention, given the lessons learned from the challenges posed by the Eastern Cape, Free State, Limpopo, and Gauteng interventions in the past and now in the Northwest. Point 13, we're saying that the MTT ensures that the Minister of Basic Education, together with the Provincial Department of Education, National Treasury, and Provincial Treasury, find resources within the allocated budget to address the much needed school infrastructure maintenance backlog and security issues in the Northwest schools to avoid high level of government asset vandalism and drug abuse. Security will bring order in some drug-dominated areas, which affect schooling, and it will also reduce the high demand on infrastructure repairs and maintenance as a result of that. We are also proposing that accelerated school infrastructure delivery initiative programs, which is funded through schools backlog grant, can be modified to cater for such much needed maintenance and school repairs. In 14, we're saying that MTT ensures that Minister of Health, together with the Provincial Department of Health, National Treasury, and Provincial Treasury, find resources within the allocated budget to address the much needed hospital infrastructure maintenance backlogs, including kitchen equipment, mortuary equipment, laundry services, and other general hospital infrastructure in this province. The minister must make sure that proper systems are put in place to achieve value for money on such expenses. Point 15, we're saying, notwithstanding the fact that some labor unions expressed unhappiness with the Section 100 intervention in the Northwest and alleged that most forums which were established for government and labor to engage had since collapsed. The committee notes the ongoing engagement between the MTT, labor, and communities with a view to maintain labor peace. The committee urges the MTT and provincial government of Northwest, together with unions, to revive forums and structures where engagement between parties take place with a view to create stability and improve service delivery in the province. Point 16, which is the last recommendation, Chair, we're saying that the MTT, together with the provincial government, ensure that the ultimate exit strategy in the Northwest Province addresses the change management imperatives, such as skills transfer, address capacity challenges and capacity of the provincial government to function effectively, strong performance monitoring, establishment of independent governance, as well as accountability structures, and institutionalizing new standard operating procedures. Exit strategy should take into account that a successful intervention provides for adequate period of transition to ensure stability post the intervention. MTT should submit the exit strategy to the committee prior to the implementation to withdraw the intervention. This will allow the committee to make its own assessment of whether the strategy addresses all the systemic issues raised in the report. And Chair, I will move to number 41, which is the committee resolution. You propose the following resolution based on the current situation, on the report findings and recommendations, and also based on the fact that the committee was established by the House, a resolution with a view to be dissolved after the report has been tabled. The committee notes some progress being made in the Northwest Province. However, given the magnitude of outstanding challenges which still persist in the province of Northwest, the committee is of the view that continuous and regular monitoring of the intervention required by Section 102C of the Constitution, which includes visiting government facilities and vigorous engagements with various organizations such as IMTT, provincial executive, communities in the Northwest, until situation is improved and the review process has been undertaken, will be vital. The NCOP should ensure that parliamentary sector committees obtain this report so that they can follow up on the set of recommendations made by the Ad Hoc Committee inquiring into the Northwest Section 100 intervention. Thank you, Chairperson.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Drummond. Honorable members, that is the synoptic view of the report. As I pointed out, generally covering what happened, the background, the work of the committee in terms of its interaction, the oversight visits to the province, as well as the observations that we have made as a committee, and lastly, some recommendations and conclusion of the committee. Over to you. Can I invite you to engage with the presentation with a view that when we're done, we must decide whether we adopt the report or not. Over to you, honorable members. Honorable Fanny Dutoy. Followed by Honorable Kenny Muimang.
Thank you, yes, Honorable. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I first want to appreciate this this report. I know that a lot of hours went into this, and it's very comprehensive. So thank you for the team for compiling it. Yes, I mean, it's evident from the report that we still have a lot of challenges in the Northwest Province. I think that one thing that might be added, if everyone agrees, is that a forensic audit be conducted, financial forensic audit be conducted in the JB Marks municipality. Because in the report, mention is made of the PPE irregularities that did happen. And some of these cases are being investigated by law enforcement agencies. But it might be the tip of the iceberg. So I think it would be wise for the committee to make such a proposal for that forensic audit to happen. And also, I think it's evident that we must try and add deadlines to some of the issues that hasn't been resolved up to now. Like, for instance, the appointment of key figures in the relevant departments. Because since we started with our overview in the province in February, it was brought under the attention to everyone. And up to now, it seems as if the relevant departments haven't really acted on the points that we uttered that needs to be addressed. So that's input from me at this stage. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Thank you very much, Honorable Dutoy. Honorable Kenny Muimang.
Let me also express my appreciation in terms of the presentation made. Special appreciation to the work that's done by our predecessors, the committee that was seized with that in the first administration. Indeed, they laid some dates for for the work of this committee to be taken to its logical conclusion. I agree also comprehensive manner in which the presentation was made, because it highlights key areas of focus. Amongst them is the general observations that indeed good work has been done, progress has been made in terms of settlement. The observation that there has been a turnaround in all the departments that the issue of improvement in the grade 12 results, which increased by 5.7%, to the improvement in the audit outcome of the departments. So we noted that's progress. Three, the reduction of number of audit queries in all the departments must be noted. The decision processes conducted in all the departments that were affected by the intervention must also be noted. For the progress registered in terms of the matters that assist with the local agencies must also be noted, Chair. So the indeed I agree with the report that we need to ensure that beyond the lifespan of this other committee, the claim to an appropriate intervention is seen as an event. There has to be a staggered approach through which we will ensure that monitoring evaluation is placed on these key issues. We also looked at parallel to the progress made. So therefore, it is important that the committees that are responsible for various departments that were affected by the intervention should ensure that the oversight in the interface with the provincial government, we need to pay attention to the outstanding issues. But in a nutshell, Chair, I agree that indeed enough ground has been covered by the work of the committee, especially recognition to the leadership that was displayed by members and also the chair of the committee. Therefore, I agree that indeed the report is a comprehensive reflection of the work that has been done, and it must be adopted, Chair.
All right, thank you very much, Honorable Muimang. Honorable Nshabeleng.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Chairperson. I'm on and off. I'm not very well. Let me appreciate this report. The report really took lots of efforts to put this report down, and I mean even all members' efforts and the staff to do that. Really appreciate that. Of course, we may want to do more than what is expected of us. The enthusiasm it's very positive, but I think we should just adopt the report as it is. But with the issues raised about the forensics, and there was the presidential thing of investigating all PPEs procurement in the country. So I just guess that even that municipality also will be covered by that forensic investigations for the PPEs. So I therefore urge members that let us adopt this report as a report that reflects our efforts as a team. Thanks a lot, Chairperson.
All right. Thank you very much, Honorable Nshabeleng. Honorable Eunice Karim.
Chairperson, I did send you some suggestions. I don't know if you had a look at them and what your response is, that we could just add. They're not major.
Them on record. your proposals, Honorable Karim. You are free to do that.
Okay, if the committee agrees, I think under recommendations we should add maybe that the NCOP, government, civil servants and other state structures can play their roles in helping the Northwest Province, but it's vitally important that political parties are stable and function effectively and play their roles too. And then a second point is civil society also needs to be strengthened and contribute more to ensuring that the provinces function effectively. Then we should add a separate paragraph, Comrade Chairperson. I'll just take you through it because it's linked to these two recommendations. And then the staff can, if the committee agrees, obviously, separate them in appropriate sections. We need a section where towards the end, maybe after the recommendations, something like this, it can be tweaked by the staff and yourself, Chairperson, offline. But the content is something the committee might want to consider giving its consent to. So it reads, issues that the NCOP needs to take further. The NCOP, through the Select Committee on COCTA, needs to develop a framework based on our experience and understanding of the Northwest intervention and other Section 100 interventions on how we more effectively monitor the provinces so that we are better able to pick up early warning signs of a province's faltering governance that might lead to a Section 100 intervention. The aims of such a framework would include trying to prevent a province deteriorating to the extent that a Section 100 intervention becomes necessary. The lessons learned from these interventions, including what measures work, need to be part of this framework. Chairperson, you see, the point being made here is that over the years, as defined by the Constitution, the NCOP committees, usually the equivalent of the Cooperative Governance Committee, or sometimes ad hoc committees, as happened in the last term of Parliament, or some other sort of committee, has to do what the Constitution requires of us. But we've accumulated a lot of experience since the mid-90s. And surely, as Parliament, independent of the executive, we should put this together. It's a long project. I'm not saying it should be done immediately, maybe up to a year given to the staff. And then COCTA should process it so that, you know, we learn the lessons we do and we learn to actually use those lessons in practice. Otherwise, it becomes like yet another report. For example, one might ask, how distinctly different is this report from other similar reports done on interventions? What is it that the NCOP can do to help to deter Section 100 interventions, as we all agree it should be a last resort? But more importantly, what can we, through our various committees, obviously it can't be COCTA alone, it's got to be human settlements, the finance committee, etc. We need a guide or a framework. It's a big project, Chairperson. I think one should say within the next year, we can add a deadline there. But it's COCTA as the Cooperative Governance Committee, with all your millions of work you have to do, all the workload you have to do, which must actually suggest a deadline. The other point, which I haven't included in a text, is that strictly speaking, Chairperson, if an intervention occurs, it's also a bad reflection on Parliament and the NCOP in particular. It means we haven't been doing our job. And I think also the provincial legislatures haven't been doing their job either. Now, I don't know whether it's, let's say, diplomatic or whatever the term is for us to add a sentence after issues at NCOP. And maybe we should work more effectively. Maybe we put it on ourselves because the provincial legislatures might get irritated with us, regarded by you, Chairperson, and others. Something about, you know, the NCOP committees need to work far more effectively with the provincial legislature committees to ensure that both at the provincial and national level, as legislatures, we do far more in our oversight role to ensure that as far as possible, Section 139 interventions are reduced to a minimum. Thanks.
All right, thank you very much. I made an observation, I'm sure. Yes. Honorable Karim Fisser, do you have any comment to make before I wrap up?
No, I agree with that we cannot just make this
another report that will go and lie somewhere on a IT system or on a shelf. And we have to do preventative actions before we come into situations like this, because now not only the provincial legislature is in trouble, but we've got all our municipalities that is absolutely down the foundations now. I do not know where we're going to start with this thing to get everything up and running again. And I also feel, Chair, that we have only touched the ears of the hippo in the water or the tip of the iceberg in terms of the investigation done to fraud and corrupt activities in the legislature. If you just check on the multitude of media statements that came out since 2013-14 and what has transpired from there, then I do not know why must we as a committee search for stuff like that. Why did the law enforcement agencies, why did they not go in and see that? Where is that those animals that the then MEC for Agriculture had to appear before a scope of committee in Parliament, where there was an executive undertaking that the animals will be returned to the game farms that it was removed from. It never happened. So where is the follow-ups in terms of that? Where is the investigations from the law enforcement agencies? The cattle that went to upcoming farmers that never reached the upcoming farmers, it is somewhere in Kandla now. So things like that. I just feel that the 53 or 54 cases that they already are busy with doing is just not, it's not good enough. There must be a thorough investigation, and we must receive the forensic reports of each and every one of this as a committee. We need not make it public at the time, but we have to be transparent in the end. But we have to discuss that and know what has happened, what has transpired there in that administration. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. We have noted all the observations and comments by honorable members. And I think most of them have got to be incorporated in the report that we adopt. Safe to say that an important point that... Hello?
I tell you, we still have two hands from Mr. Tutoit and Ms. Gideon.
Oh, okay, sorry. I didn't see that. Okay. Honorable Fanini, no, let me firstly give Honorable Gideon, she has not spoken, and Honorable Tutoit, you will follow thereafter.
Afternoon, Chair. I'm part of the meeting.
Okay. Honorable Gideon.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me take the opportunity to welcome this report, all the hard work that has been put into this ad hoc committee from all members and all support staff and all departments. Chairperson, for me, it is very important that we adopt this report and take it into the House with all its recommendations. But the one thing that I can't agree with, Chair, is that we must bring new issues into the report. And I want to agree with Member Chabaling. The SIU is busy dealing with all the PPE corruption or allegations that is there. Can we leave it at the SIU? The 600 has also shown us, Jefferson, that there is a lot of positives that has come out of this report and out of the 600 and from the intervention task team. Yes, it's not 100% where we wanted to go, but there is improvement. And I think we must be positive. And also, Chairperson, the report on the municipalities is not only talking to the Northwest Province, but there is a report by the Minister of COCTA that speaks on all municipalities across the country. So can we just keep a focus on the 600 in Northwest and adopt this report. And yes, we agree there is still a lot that needs to be done, but there is improvement. Not the way maybe everybody will agree with it, but we can also agree out of the oversight that we've done that there is improvement in the Northwest. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Thank you very much, Honorable Gillion. I was saying thank you very much, Honorable Gillion, if I'm audible. Honorable Dutoy, you want to have a second bite before I wrap up?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I need to respond to what Honorable Gillion as well as the other honorable members said. The reason why I request that a forensic financial audit be done in the JB Marks municipality is the fact that other municipalities were also mentioned in the reports of the Hawks, etc., that didn't deal specifically with PPE corruption and specifically on PPE matters. There seem to be a lot of other large issues within the financial sector in the JB Marks municipality. And I think it's of the utmost importance that we address these matters. Because if money is being, if fraud and corruption is taking place in municipalities on a municipal level, obviously it has a detrimental effect on the province and the legislature. And they need to intervene and give assistance, etc. So it's a big snowball effect. So I do not know why we get resistance if we want to root out alleged corruption that is taking place. We are here to play an oversight role, and I think that let's put it on the table, make it part of the report. What harm can it do to have a forensic financial investigation in the JB Marks municipality if there's nothing wrong and there's nothing to hide? And then also, Chair, Honorable Karim mentioned that, and we all agree with that, that the legislature didn't do their work. And the report also speaks to the political interference. I'm not quoting directly, but the political issues is one of the major reasons why we're sitting in this dilemma. Now, a problem that I have is that the Constitution in Section 100 doesn't give us an option for the legislature to be dissolved, like in Section 139 with regards to municipalities when you've tried interventions and it doesn't help. And at the end of the day, a municipality is dissolved and you elect new representatives to fill those posts and hopefully they will govern the way they're supposed to govern. When I go to Section 109 of the Constitution, it does speak to the dissolution of provincial legislatures before the expiry of the term, but it only makes mention of the Premier or the Acting Premier that can call for such a dissolution after 3 years has lapsed and with the consent of the legislature itself. So for me, it's evident that the intervention did not work and did not yield the required results that we all hoped. And I think that it must be an option for the legislature, the provincial legislature, to be dissolved and for new representatives to be elected, to fill those posts, to do their work, and for us not to have any political interference in the workings of the municipalities as well as the legislature itself. Thank you, Chair. Was I audible, Chair? Did you hear me?
Yes, Mr. Chair, you were audible.
Thank you.
Just lost the chairperson, I think. Let me quickly get hold of him.
Chairperson? Chair? Dada?
Honorable members, it looks like we've lost the chair.
I was also lost, man.
Yeah, and we've been trying to get hold of him. Unfortunately, his phone is on voicemail.
Colleagues, can I suggest, colleagues, it's Eunice.
Yeah.
Can I suggest that Kenny Chair, because we're about to end anyway, the passing of the minutes is a formality. There's minor changes here and there. Some of us, I think I'm not the only one, have got double bookings, as it were, and we're on two meetings at the same time. So it'd be great if we can finish, because we've done now. What is there left to do? I mean, I would like to respond to Fani Jutoy. Can Kenny Chair, please?
No problem. They were also disconnected, Honorable Karim.
I'd like to move that you chair. Is there a seconder? Until the other chair comes back.
I second, Comrade Yunus.
Thank you. Let's probably then find out in terms of the procedure, in terms of adopting the report from WASI.
Kenny, before you do that, Kenny, yes. Sorry, before you do that, I had my hand up. I think we should reply to Fani Jutoy, if I may. It's very brief.
All right, now let's then deal with that matter.
It won't be long. No, just to make something very clear, Chairperson. I'm astonished, really, that Mr. Jutoy will raise us as a National Council of Provinces disbanding a legislature. As he himself says, that'll be unconstitutional. But secondly, Chairperson, as you also will know, and others here, it was the National Party and the Freedom Front that fought for provincial provinces and provincial rights, and giving them more powers and functions than the majority party wanted in 1994 to 1996. So, you know, I'm just amazed that he is now being argued. But this isn't the time for a debate on the matter. I just want to draw the attention. We can't say that. It'll be unconstitutional. No. There's nothing stopping Mr. Jutoy from saying it in the debate on his behalf. I think, really, Chairperson, it's also a very bad reflection on Parliament as a whole, both the NA and NCOP, not just the provincial legislatures, that Section 100 interventions are required. But the majority party, Chairperson, apart from the Constitution ruling it out, can never say it could be used and abused by national parliaments to suit certain ideological and inter-party differences. And also, we can never agree to that. But which is not to say we don't agree with the problems that people are pointing to. I think the point Comrade Khalian is making is that we don't want to introduce new issues here at this late stage. The issues that they are referring to, like corruption, I mean, really, do we want corruption? Which party will stand up and say it was corruption? Of course we don't. But there are systemic and structural issues as well that need to be addressed. You can't just deal with corruption separate from that. Yes, it's a big problem. There are 1,000 different ways we can deal with it. And I don't think that we can address it all. You see, we mustn't supplant, Chairperson, the role of the Justice Committee, the Police Committee, and the NCOP Select Committee, and so on. They are supposed to be doing these things. And moreover, finally, You know, it's not as if the NCOP select committees in those areas, Chairperson, can deal with the matters. There are institutions there, like the SAPS, the Hawks in particular, the NPA, the magistrates and judges and so on. We must have more effective oversight over them so that they do their jobs properly. We've created these institutions. Now we must ensure that they do their job as effectively as possible. So if it's not in this report to the extent that the colleagues from other parties want, you know, it's there already in the general form when we say at the end that all the committees that are affected by the recommendations of this report must look at this report and actually act on it in their respective portfolios. Otherwise, we're going to have the Section 100 committee lasting forever and supplanting the work of the specific select committees. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Karim, for the input. Indeed, correctly so, as a committee, we are given a specific instruction, and there are issues definitely that were identified as outstanding, and those are the issues that has informed our recommendation, particularly the point that we made to say the select committee must continue playing oversight in terms of ensuring that those outstanding issues are taken to finality. But with that, as it may, honorable members, let's then give over to Lwazi just to outline the procedure in terms of adopting this report.
Aisha, there are other hands from Ms. Gideon, and yes, it's Ms. Gideon now.
No, I forgot to lower my hand, Chairperson.
Oh, it's a legacy hand. It's a legacy hand. Thank you. Yes, let's get an advice from the Cornell advisor.
Chair, Gululego will give you the process of what needs to be done in terms of the procedure of adopting the report. But on my side, Chair, I would like to ask Mr. Karim's input. He really made some substantive input into the report. So taking that, he knows how we operate in the application when he makes that input. So I will request him to send us those proposals so that we can look into them and locate them correctly into the report as he has proposed, if the committee agrees with them. Yeah.
I apologize. I got heavily interrupted where I am at the moment. I hope that you were able to deal with the issues. When I was still on here, it was at the point that Mr. Dutoy was speaking.
Can I take you on board?
Yeah, take over then. Take over this part then.
No, I'm not taking over. I'm just giving you an update in terms of how far we are. We are at a point where we will be getting an advice from Lwazi in terms of procedure that has to be followed in adopting the report. Two, the inputs that were made by Honorable Karim, substantively so, must be endorsed. If you can just forward them, because Honorable Karim indicated that he forwarded them to you, let's forward them to the content advisor so that they can be incorporated in the report. Three, we agreed that let's confine ourselves to the work that has been given to us, appreciating the fact that there are other institutions that assist with the issues that members are raising. We are not downplaying the issues that are raised around the systemic issues that are in our municipalities, but correctly so, we believe that there are institutions. COPTA is seized with the responsibility of municipalities, and we expect that in the debate that we'll be having on Wednesday, the minister will also give an outline in terms of from COCTA, what are the support mechanisms that are put in place to ensure that the legacy issues emanating from these interventions are taken forward. So at this point in time, let me give over to you, Chair.
No, it's okay. I accept the observations and the summary that you've made. The only point that I wanted to emphasize and motion member of was the fact that this is a Section 100 intervention where the national executive has intervened on a province. It is not a Section 139 intervention to municipalities. And whatever that we discuss, we must just bear that in mind, making it very, very difficult again to focus on a specific municipality when there is an intervention mechanism that is in place for municipalities. I thought perhaps I must make that particular point. But with that, I think this is okay. Can we now, having obtained the clarity, move for the adoption of the committee report? Yes, in that sense, and check whether are the people who members who feel that they can't adopt the report or they want to abstain. Any mover for the adoption of the report?
I move, Chairperson, Member Gillian.
Honorable Gillian, move for the adoption of the report. Any seconder? Yes, Honorable Kenimuiman seconds. Any opposition to the adoption of the report?
Yes, Honorable Chair, please note the Freedom Front Plus, we reserve our position. Thank you.
You reserve your position. Any abstention? That is an abstention, by the way, yes. I was firstly looking for those who are opposed to the adoption of the report.
It's opposed and get it over with, Chair. The Freedom Front Plus opposed the report. Thank you.
Are you opposing or are you reserving your...
Chair, like I said, let's get it over with. It's no state secret. We do not support all the recommendations of the report, and we therefore do not support the report. Thank you, Chair.
Really? Okay. No, it's okay. You don't support the report. You are not reserving. Yes, it's okay. Freedom Front is noted that they don't support the report. Any other party? I want to be fair as much as possible. Okay. Thank you very much. It means the report, Chair, is adopted,
Chair,
with the opposition from the Freedom Front Plus. Who's saying, Chair?
Sileku, Chair.
Oh, Honorable Sileku.
The DA would like to abstain, Chair.
You're abstaining?
Yes, sir.
From either supporting or not supporting. Okay, it's okay. The DA is abstaining from the report. Honorable Karen Fesser.
There was something wrong here with my connection as well. I agree with Honorable Sileku. We abstaining.
Abstaining. Having worked so very hard, that is fine. We respect them.
Honorable Chair. We will have another discussion. Really,
It's okay. Don't politic about serious issues that affect the lives of our people, man. It's fine. You are saying the DA, the Freedom Front Plus, is opposing the report, that these recommendations are not okay. It's okay. Thank you very much. The report is adopted with those points noted from the DA and from the Freedom Front Plus. Let's quickly go to the minutes. Minutes have been sent to us, are circulating. Nkululeko, I propose that quickly just put the first set of minutes on the screen so that we go through them quickly. And in case that I get an interruption again, I would request Honorable Miman to finalize the process. I hope that will not happen, but in case that it happens. Could you go fly the minutes, please? These are the minutes of the 29th of January. Take us through first page. These were the first meeting. Just wait on the on those who attended. This is the list of all the members who have attended the meeting and those who apologize. Go to the next point. The parliamentary support staff. These were the parliamentary support staff assigned to the committee. Go to introduction, the part that deals with introduction. That the meeting was officially open, nomination process followed, and comments made by members of the committee. And on the matters arising, the agreements that we had, and the chairperson closed the meeting with some remarks. Any mover for the adoption of the minutes?
I move Chairperson Eunice.
Honorable Eunice Karem, move. Any seconder?
Second, Chair.
Honorable Miman, seconds. Any opposition to the minutes, the adoption of the minutes?
None.
No, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's go to the second set of the minutes.
It's 8th of February, Chairperson.
Yeah, that's this Friday. The next meeting was on the 8th of February. This is the list of members who attended the meeting. The support staff members present, introduction to the meeting. Just be slow a bit. The documents which were presented to the meeting, the issues which were raised. Move on. Closing remarks by the chairperson of the... Why are you saying by the co-chairperson? Who was co-chairing the meeting? I was sharing along the heading. Is this moved by the chairperson of the meeting? Correct that, please. Yes. That's good. And the meeting was adjourned on the 8th of February. Any mover for the adoption of the minutes of the meeting?
I move, Chair.
Honorable Chabele moves for the adoption of the minutes. Any seconder?
Gillian, second.
Honorable Gillian, seconds. Any person who wants to oppose must either raise their hand or must indicate that they are opposing the adoption of the minutes. I will take that if they say mover and the seconder, the minutes are adopted. Can we go to the next set of the minutes? The meeting on the 15th of February, where we engaged with the IMTT for the first time. These are the people who attended the meeting, the alternates, as well as the guests who were part of the meeting, ministers and deputy ministers, the parliamentary support staff, introduction. It was a briefing by the interministerial task team. Yes, where they gave us a presentation about the work that they had covered, the outstanding issues and all those related matters. Yeah, it was a very, very detailed presentation. After that presentation and the interaction, The chairperson closed, made some remarks and closed the meeting and thanked all the members present. Any mover for the adoption of the meeting, of the minutes?
I move, Eunice, thank you.
Honorable Eunice Karen moves. Any seconder?
I second, Chair.
Honorable Miman second the adoption of the minutes. Opposition? Any opposition? Nothing. Let's move to the another set of minutes. And at the end of this minutes, I'm going to make a proposal the minutes of the 22nd of February, briefing by the law enforcement agencies, I think. Yes, can you move? NPA, everybody briefed us. Yes, can you move? What they had to say, the SIU, the Hawks, just go up a bit and correct the same thing. Just go up a bit. Oh, yes. No, it's okay. It's okay. I thought that you there is somebody that I don't know that is co-chairing this meeting with me. Yeah, okay. Any mover for the adoption of the minutes?
Member Gillian moves for the adoption.
Member Gillian moves for the adoption of the minutes. Any seconder?
Nchabeleng second.
Honorable Nchabeleng, Elect Nchabeleng, Walimpopo seconds. Thank you very much. The next set of minutes. The meeting of the ad hoc committee on the 1st of March 2021. Yeah, we were meeting the National Treasury, I think. And yeah, can you move those who attended? As the staff. Or issues raised by the members. It was our meeting alone after engagement with the law enforcement agencies. Yes, I remember this. Any mover for the adoption of this minutes of the 1st of March?
I move, Chair.
Honorable Chabeleng moves. Any seconder?
Mouiman seconds.
Honorable Mouiman seconds. Thank you very much. The next set of minutes. The 5th of March, many meetings. Whew. Yes, can you move up? IPID, I remember it was on a Friday. They briefed us. And yes. About the Mabula team. They briefed us about the cases that implicated the police in the Northwest. Yes. And close. And move for the adoption of the minutes.
Member Gillian, move for the adoption,
Member
Chair.
Gillian moves for the adoption. Any seconder?
My second, Chair.
Honorable Fadi Dutoy seconds. Thank you very much. The next set of minutes. Can you go down, please? Briefing by the Hawks and briefing by the SIU and the discussions that members had, issues that were raised in the presentation by both the Hawks from the Hawks and the SIU. Yes. And that the meeting was adjourned at 3:00. Any mover for the adoption of the minute of the meeting of the 8th of March? Who moves?
I move, Chair.
Who's that? Well, Honorable Mimang moves. And who seconds?
I second, Eunice.
Oh, Honorable Eunice Karemi seconds. Thank you very much. The next set of minutes, I think it's the 15th of March by the NPA. Let's see those. Oh, these were our reflections on the oversight visit from the Northwest. That is what we did. That is the 30th of March. Issues that were raised by committee members, their own observations. Yes, can you move? Yes, that's it. It was our meeting alone without inviting other stakeholders. Any mover for the adoption of the minutes?
I move, Jane.
Honorable Fanny Dutoy moves. Any seconder? Any seconder? Am I not audible? It means we are not adopting these minutes.
You are. I was not present, Chair. I had submitted an apology. Those that were present, second.
Oh, you are not here. Honorable Gillian says she seconds the...
Yes, I second.
I'm not sure if I was in the meeting myself.
I thank you. Let's move the next set of minutes. The 24th of May. We're about to finish now. Yes, can we move? We had a briefing by the content advisor on the outstanding work and the challenges and a preface, a prelude of the report. Yes. Yes, and then we close the meeting. Mover for the adoption of the minutes of the 24th of May.
Honorable Killian, move for the adoption, Chair.
I second the move.
Seconded by Honorable Nchabeleng. Can we get the next set of minutes? Can we move to the next set of minutes, please? Surely they are not all. The 11th of June, where we received a briefing from the law enforcement agencies, that would be a week ago, NPA, the Hawks, and the SIU briefing, where we were dealing with all those issues pertaining to criminal cases which were opened, progress in respect of those cases. Can we move for the adoption of the minutes?
I move, Chair. Move
for the adoption of the minutes. I think this is honorable Mima moves for the adoption. Any seconder?
I second, Chair.
I second honorable Fanny Dutoy. Administration. Yes, I was about to tell you that I'm missing the minutes where we engaged the Premier of the Northwest Province. Yes, that is the 7th of June, yes. And the community forum that submitted the memorandum, we also in that meeting dealt with the state of the municipalities in the Northwest. Yes, that's a... Yes, those are the minutes of the meeting. Any mover for the adoption of the minutes?
Member Killian, move for the adoption, Chair.
Oh, Mauritian, Mauritia. Thank you very much, Honorable Killian. Any seconder?
Next second year.
Second, Honorable Fanny Dutoy. Yes, thank you very much. Oh, Fanny. Are they all minutes? I guess so.
Jay, you made a mistake. And if this report is agreed to as that, it's wrong. It's Honorable Seleku that seconded it.
Who seconded what?
It's my homie.
Oh, that very well.
It's a leg from
Honorable Fanny Detroy. Honorable Sileb is quiet. Every time I'll talk to you outside this meeting. He always keeps quiet when it comes to the crunch time. He works and works and works. When he's on the finishing line, he backs up. Yeah, but it's okay. I hope those were the last minutes of the meeting. I guess so. Please, let me just make this statement. I don't think administration and the process of parliament, I don't think that this is the best way to consider and process the minutes of the meetings. I propose that every after meeting, you produce the minutes. In the following meeting, we adopt them. It can't be right that we pile the minutes. I know that every time the minutes are sent to members to go through them, but bringing issues that we dealt with long time ago, it's not on, it's not helpful. It doesn't help the process. It is, in my view, malicious compliance, and this is what must be avoided. After every meeting, you must present the minutes. And I think this is a trend that I've seen happening in parliament, that minutes are piled, and towards the end, we are expected to adopt. And sometimes members keep quiet because, yes, they were part of the meeting. They discussed very effectively, but they can't have and keep the recollection of everything that happened some months back. It's not fair to members. I think so. And this system in parliament must be changed. Wherever you are, when you discuss, say that this committee says this system must change. Minutes must be forwarded to members after every meeting. They must be produced and be forwarded to members in that sense. Honorable members, that is that. We've come to the end of this meeting. This was a necessary process. As I indicated when the meeting started, we were exercising the power of parliament, the power of the NCOP, enshrined in the Constitution in terms of Section 100, subsection 2.C, that compels us to regularly review the intervention. And having reviewed the intervention, we are obligated to make some recommendations. I'm saying that I got cut whilst I was speaking. I was making the point that these recommendations must be taken by the House, and these are serious matters that we are bringing forward to the attention of the executive, and they must follow it up because we don't want the repeated interventions. We don't want them to recur, and this that we are doing and saying must be the experiences that must be done elsewhere again. With that, I really, as the chairperson of this committee, would like to thank you from the bottom of my heart that at the time that we needed you, you were there. You played your part. You made your contributions. You participated quite actively and meaningfully in the deliberations. Sometimes I would invite you during the awkward times, but you were there for the committee because you felt the need to assist in the work of Parliament to oversee the intervention. I want to also thank the staff members who played their part, who were also available at all material times to ensure that the work of this committee is done diligently, professionally, and to the best of their ability. I think this is quite a good lesson for all of us, and we are happy emerging out of this process. With that, honorable members, we've come to the end of the meeting. I want to express once more my thanks to all of you, irrespective across the political parties. Thank you very much for your diligent work in this particular instance. Thank you. The meeting is adjourned.
Chair,
thank you.
Before you go, Chairperson,
Yes.
Can we send the latest draft report to all members so that they can see the last three recommendations that were added by Mr. Karim? Yes. Yeah, before the ATC chair.
Yes, you do that, and immediately after that, you must ATC the report on time so that all members of the House must have it on time. The debate, as you are aware, it's the House is sitting at 10 o'clock on Wednesday, and the report needs to be available time as to for members to can scrutinize.
All right.
Yes.
Now, they will have to just look at the last three recommendations.
They will do that.
And that's it. Yeah.
Thanks. All right. You've done that to tonight. It must be ATC.
Yeah, sure. All right. I'm sending it now, Chair. All right.
All right. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you.